The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is your hometown girl, Shadate Hargett Hill. This is the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. I'm filling in for your normal reader, Mr. John Ivy. We hope to have him back really soon. But until then, you have me. And we're going to be starting with some stories coming from different articles. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from articles from Sports Illustrated for Kids Online, Scouts Life, and Times for Kids, as well as Sports Kids News. So let's get started, okay? All right. Why these 1990s Sports Illustrated for Kids cards are now worth a fortune. If you're of a certain age, you could be sitting on or have squandered a fortune. A number of SI or Sports Illustrated for Kids cards from the 1990s have sold for five to six figures, highlighting last week by Serena Williams cards from a 1999 auction that fetched $117. According to NBC Sports, it was the most expensive women's card ever sold. The price on the Serena Williams card was a little surprising. Jesse Craig, the director of business development at PWCC, the auction house that sold the card, admitted to the Post. Darren Rovell, a sports business reporter for the Action Network and an avid memorabilia collector, agreed on the non-traditional angle and expanded it to cards that were distributed outside standard packs. Craig explained that non-traditional sports outside the four majors, such as soccer, tennis, and golf, are having big movement. The Serena Williams card was not the first SI for Kids card to sell for astounding money. Rovell, writing for ESPN in 2001, chronicled how a Tiger Woods card sold for $125,000. That card has actually fallen in value since then, as he noted that one sold on eBay for $55,000 last year. Last June, a 1992 Mia Hamm card sold for nearly $35,000. Arguably the greatest women's tennis player of all time, Williams is a logical draw, and this particular card has an element of scarcity. This specific card is one of her earliest rookie cards, and there's only been eight that have been graded as a 10 by PCA, Craig said. The supply constraints are there, and it was only a matter of time for the demand to catch up and hit a big number. One of the season's SI for Kids cards have caught on in value is that they were on the cutting edge of identifying future stars on the rise, and thus were among the athlete's earliest card manufacturers. Craig also pointed to the nostalgia angle. Kids from the 1990s are in their 30s and 40s now, with some disposable income and a fond recollection of the era. Throw in the fact that so many of these cards were discarded or damaged in the hands of adolescents, and not many have survived in mint condition. Rovell also explained another oddball element of the card's value. It's hard to get them perfectly perforated, he said. It has to show all the nubs, so you can't cut it with scissors. If you cut it, you'll get a horrible grade, so you have to tear it perfectly. The perforation angle goes a little deeper than SI. Rovell pointed out how a perforated 1994 Miami football Bumblebee tuna card of Dwayne The Rock Johnson became the card of COVID and was transacting for five figures. The fact that SI for Kids had a relatively narrow audience is another factor. If this was Sports Illustrated, they would have no value at all, Rovell said. Because so many people save those, there are much fewer Sports Illustrated for Kids out there. PWCC, which specializes in trading cards, has monthly auctions of cards they expect to go for over $25,000. In January, they had 260 cards to hit the block. The platform has a Kobe Bryant PSA 10 Sports Illustrated for Kids card from his 1996-1997 rookie season, the only one that currently exists with a perfect grade, going up for auction. I'm curious to see, with all the movement we've had in the Sports Illustrated for Kids cards, where this one lands, he says. Rovell did caution that there are elements that could prevent this. Increased attention with stories like this one could bring more cards out of the attic to get graded. And who knows what type of stockpile of the original magazines could exist in a Sports Illustrated warehouse somewhere. If the market got flooded, values would inevitably drop. Now here's a little backstory on the Sports Illustrated for Kids magazine and cards. The Sports Illustrated for Kids magazine debuted in January of 1989, and with it brought a new type of trading card. These cards include the more traditional sports such as football, basketball, and baseball, but they also include cards from niche sports that rarely produce cards, such as track and golf. Over time, these once niche cards have become a permanent fixture of the hobby. The history of Sports Illustrated for Kids cards. Sports Illustrated for Kids is a monthly spinoff from the well-known sports periodical with a less complex vocabulary and humor, of course. Every edition of Sports Illustrated for Kids has featured a set of cards within the magazine. Over the years, they featured various card designs, and the cards include some of the most iconic athletes of the past 30 years. Since 2006, these cards have been issued as part of an alliance with Topps. Are Sports Illustrated for Kids cards worth it? An official manufacturer did not make the early Sports Illustrated for Kids cards. It has not stopped them from reaching high values. Especially value cards come from rookie seasons of star athletes of cards of athletes from sports without regular cards issued, such as swimmer Michael Phelps. In fact, the most expensive female sports card in history was a Sports Illustrated for Kids card. Legendary Team USA player Mia Hamm saw her rookie card sell for $34,440, doubling the previous record for female sports cards. That is another indication that women's soccer cards are coming into their own. Some athletes from the main collection sports have valuable cards as well. A LeBron James featuring him in his high school uniform is another widely desired card from the Sports Illustrated Kids collection. A little over a month ago, the card sold for $1,525, one of the highest values for this card. A card from Kevin Durant's rookie year in 2007 also fetched a sold price, with one selling for $1,432 recently. The most valuable Sports Illustrated for Kids cards, however, the most valuable cards tend to feature athletes from sports with few mainstream releases. Thus, the conclusion is clear. Sports Illustrated for Kids cards are best used to collect high-value athletes outside the big four sports. It is also notable that 5 out of the 10 highest-value athletes are female. From its start, Sports Illustrated for Kids has shown an admirable penchant for gender equality, but aside from that, female athletes do not feature in many mainstream card releases, making their cards rare and sometimes quite valuable. So, of course, we have Mia Hamm at number 71. Year 1992, value for PSA 10, unless no price was found, was $34,440. Tiger Woods, 1996, $29,710. Michael Phelps, 2004, $21,200. Usain Bolt, 2008, 20,000. Naima Naomi Osaka, 2018, PSA 9, 13,400. And we talked about Serena Williams early. Well, here she's on the list again for her 1999 card, $8,000. Tony Hawk, 1990, PSA 9, $6,136. Jordan Spieth, 2015, $2,000. Diana Taurasi, 2003, $1,575. Andre Agassi, 1989, $1,500. Due to these cards' unique packaging, confusion exists about opening them and removing individual cards. The cards come packaged in a sheet of nine with perforations for ripping between them. Despite cutting the perforation with scissors seeming like the safe choice, it is best, like I said before, just to pull them apart. Cards that maintain their perforation tend to grade better, so any perforation or any discarded or touched parts of the cards will consider a loss. This is just another reminder that scissors shouldn't be anywhere near your cards. There are a few techniques you can use to pull them apart without damaging the cards correctly. Practice doing your diligence while doing this and be careful. One standard method is folding one row on top of the other to make pulling apart easier. Alternatively, you can isolate the card you want and fold it in each direction repeatedly until it is practically falls off the sheet. Grading for Sports Illustrated for Kids cards is unique, especially compared to cards acquired in more traditional methods. The presence of plastic around the card presents a unique twist to the card, and as said above, is an essential factor in grading. If you take a look at a few cards on eBay, you will see that ones with completely intact tend to grade better. In addition to this, they are not made of the thicker material seen in chromium style cards, so they don't have improved durability. Unfortunately, this means the chances of damage to the card are increased, so a perfect grade becomes rare. Sports Illustrated for Kids print runs is relatively easy to calculate. Since every issue comes with a set, the print runs should be identical to the circulation numbers. It currently has a circulation of 950,000. Unfortunately, numbers on earlier circulations are challenging to find, and the pop reports are not very helpful in early runs, since there are very few graded versions of most cards. These cards have had several designs over the years. Some have lasted for several years, while others were switched after a few issues. There have been sequences of card numbers thus: 1989 to 1991, 324 cards, 1992 to 2000, 963 cards, 2001 to 2005, 540 cards, 2006 to 2010, 531 cards, 2011 to current, 934 cards. It was tough to make a selection here, but we are going with the Usain Bolt card. The sprinter is one of the greatest athletes in the narrow sense of the term in modern history, with 8 Olympic gold medals. In addition, Bolt's speed has earned him 19 Guinness World Records. With a record like that, you would expect him to feature on his share of cards. But Usain is not American and does not play a major sport. Therefore, he is featured on few cards. However, with all of his records and iconic name, we expect Bolt's cards to be sought out for many years to come. Overall, cards from Sports Illustrated for Kids magazine are a unique aspect of this hobby and are valued as such. Their unique designs, distribution method, and niche sports stars all contribute to a highly sought-after product. However, keep in mind that most Sports Illustrated for Kids cards are pretty much worthless. The ones with value are unique without clear equivalents in major releases. Now let's talk a little history. Rafael Nadal makes more history at the French Open. Rafael Nadal has once again proved he is the king of clay. On June 5th, the tennis phenom defeated Casper Ruud in three decisive sets to win a record-extending 14th French Open title. The 36-year-old is the oldest men's singles French Open champion and the first male tennis player to win 22 Grand Slam championships. The Australian Open, the French Open, Wimbledon, and the U.S. Open. Roger Federer and Novak Djokovic each hold 20 Grand Slams totals. For me, it's very difficult to describe the feelings that I have, Nadal said during his on-court trophy ceremony. It's something I've never believed, being here at 36, being competitive again, playing on the most important court of my career. It means everything. I don't know what can happen in the future, but I'm going to keep fighting to try to keep going so many times. Nadal's achievements are even more remarkable given that a chronic foot problem almost drove him into retirement in 2021. Fortunately, the Spaniard recovered and in January 2022 won his first Grand Slam of the year, the Australian Open. Since then, Nadal has suffered from a rib injury and the foot problem has also returned. Following the French Open final, the 36-year-old told the media that he had received injections to numb the pain throughout the two-week tournament. The preparation was not ideal, Nadal said. I had a stress fracture of the rib, then I have the foot pain, which stays there all the time. I had my doctor here with me. I don't know how to say in English what we did. We played with no feeling on the foot. We played with an injection in the nerve, so the foot was asleep. That's why I was able to play. The champion now plans to undergo a procedure that may provide a long-term reprieve from pain. The treatment success will determine if he competes at the 2022 Wimbledon Championship, which starts on June 27th. If the procedure fails to work, Nadal will have to consider a major surgery, which may or may not fix the issue. It would also require a prolonged recovery. Wimbledon is a priority, always has been a priority. If I'm able to play with anti-inflammatories, yes. To play with injections, no. I don't want to put myself in that position again. Can happen once, but no, is not a philosophy of life that I want to follow, Nadal said. And in case you missed some stories that we were not be able to bring you from the magazine, but they have made records in online Sports Illustrated for Kids. Amputee ultra runner sets new record within 105 marathons in 104 days. Most of the athletes that participated in 126 Boston Marathon that took place in April probably took some time to recuperate it before embarking on another exhausting run, but not Jackie Hunt Brasmarma. The Arizona-based ultra runner completed another marathon that next day and the day after. In fact, Jackie ran the grueling 26.2-mile distance for 104 straight days from January to April. Even more impressive, the 46-year-old did it with a prosthetic leg. Her feat expected to be ratified by the Guinness Book of World Records in a few weeks sets a new record for the most consecutive or straight marathons completed by a female. Jackie, who uses a special carbon fiber running blade, did not grow up running. She fell in love with the sport a few years after losing her left leg to cancer in 2001. The 46-year-old told NBC News, "Since moving to the U.S. from South Africa in 2006, I've picked up running, and ever since, I've wanted to keep pushing boundaries." The ultra runner was inspired to take up the marathon challenge after hearing about Alyssa Amos Clark's record-breaking 95 marathons in as many days in 2020. Jackie thought, well, that would be interesting to try and do, especially running on a prosthetic leg. Her initial goal was to complete 100 marathons. However, that had to be extended after a British athlete achieved that record just a few days before Jackie's finish. To ensure she would not be outrun again, Jackie completed 4 extra marathons. Along the way, she helped raise over $190,000 for Amputee Blade Runners. The nonprofit organization provides amputees with running blades which can exceed $10,000 per set. Jackie ran a few high-profile events such as the Boston Marathon and the Lost Dutchman in Arizona. However, it is hard to find a marathon daily, and most of her runs were on the meandering dirt trails near her home or on a treadmill. During her 104-day quest, she logged an astounding 2,728.8 miles, ate 100 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and wore out 10 pairs of running shoes. Though thrilled at her achievement, Jackie is far from done. The ultra runner now has her eyes set on the Ma'ab 240. The strenuous 240-mile foot race involves running through some of Utah's most challenging terrain. To prepare for the big event, Jackie intends to complete a 100-mile run sometime this summer. You go, Jackie. Speaking of great feats, if you hadn't heard about it, let's talk about the comeback kid. Hyrena Logan, 14, is the 2020 Scripps National Spelling Bee champion. On June 2nd, Hyrena bested Vikram Raju, 12, during the 92nd lightning round. She spelled 22 words correctly. The winning word was Moorhen. That's Moorhen. That's a kind of bird. The contest, which took place in National Arbor, Maryland, was the first fully in-person bee since 2019. Hyrena, who's from San Antonio, Texas, said of the lightning round, "When it got introduced last year, I was a bit terrified, to be honest. Getting to it wasn't easy." During the multiple choice vocabulary round, Hyrena was eliminated. She defined pupillation, that's pullulation, as the nesting of mating birds. Judges said the correct answer was the swarming of bees, but Harina's answer was also right, and she was reinstated. This was Harina's fourth trip to the National Bee. She takes home more than $50,000 in cash and prizes. Congratulations to Hyrena. Now, speaking of sports, choosing a sports program. Childhood sports programs have grown significantly in recent years. Millions of boys and girls are now involved in Little League baseball, youth soccer, community basketball leagues, competitive swimming teams, and similar types of activities. Happily, sports programs are becoming increasingly available for girls whose need for such activities and whose ability to becoming to participate is equal to that of boys. If your own child joins one or more of these programs, he or she will have a wonderful opportunity for fun and fitness. At the same time, however, a youngster's poorly matched to a sports team or who must deal with unrealistic expectations from a parent, a coach, or even himself or herself, can have a very negative sports experience filled with stress and frustration. Before your child enters a youth sports program, evaluate his objectivities or her objectivities as well as your own. Although both child and parent may fantasize about using this as a stepping stone toward becoming a professional athlete or Olympic champion, champion, few participants have the talent and dedication to reach those heights. Even more modest goals are far from guaranteed. Only 1 in 4 outstanding elementary school athletes become a sports standout in high school. Only 1 in more than 6,600 high school football players will ever rise to professional football ranks. Nevertheless, there are other more important reasons for your child to participate in organized sports. Sports can contribute to physical fitness and develop basic motor skills. Also, participating in the sports activity that best suits your child's capabilities can develop leadership skills, boost self-confidence, teach the importance of teamwork and sportsmanship, and help him deal or her deal with both success and failure. In addition, by participating in sports, children often find exercise enjoyable and more likely to establish lifelong habits of healthful exercise. However, not all sports meet the requirements for promoting overall sports. Also, there are many ways for children to become fit and active about participating in team sports. Talk with your child about his interest or her interest in youth sports and what their reasons may be for wanting or in some cases not wanting to participate. His or her goals may be different from yours. Most children, particularly the younger ones, might say that they simply want to have fun. Others may add that they want to be active and hope to spend time and share experiences with friends. You may have all of these goals too, along with the desire that your youngster develop an appreciation for sports and fitness. If either you or your child places winnings at the near the top of your list of goals, and if you put pressure on your child to win a tournament or kick goal, your priorities are out of line. Winning certainly adds to the fun and excitement of sports, but it should not be the primary goal. Father's Day is coming up this Sunday, so we have 6 homemade Father's Day gift ideas. If we don't get to all 6, we'll end on a good note. Fort Dad. Here's where Dad can keep stamps, pens and pencils, papers, clips, rubber bands, you know, the small stuff that gets lost. Making it look like a fort makes it fun, too. Cut some cardboard tubes into different sizes. Make 2 of them short, about 1 or 2 inches tall. Don't make any that are more than 4 inches tall. Cover each tube with paper from brown paper bags. Glue or tape it on. Make the paper cover one end of each tube that will be the bottom of the tube when you glue it down on the base. Glue the tubes together and set them down with all their bottoms flat on the table. Tie them together if you need to while they dry. Cut the base out of cardboard, color it green or brown so that it looks like the ground. Glue the bottom of the fort to the base, let that dry. Cut out brick break twigs in the right sizes to glue on the fort. Use a rubber band to hold them on while they dry. If you don't have twigs, you can glue on torn pieces of bags to look like rocks. You can also do a go-together puzzle. Show Dad that you get together like pieces of puzzles. Get a photo of you and your dad that you have permission to cut up. Put them all together and you and Dad can make a great go-together puzzle with just you and him. Also, you can do a little trophy. Get together with Mom to help do a little trophy with plastic or paper cups upside down. Unfortunately, we run out of time for this episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. Stay tuned for more of us next week when we come back with more episodes from Sports Illustrated. This is the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Shadate Hargett Hill, your hometown girl. Keep in touch with us. We'll see you next week. Have a great one. We'll be right back.